Let me start with a question that seems like it has an obvious answer. Are you free? On the surface, it's not even worth asking. Of course I'm free. I've never been enslaved by anyone. Like Jesus' audience in our gospel reading, you might be tempted to say that you have never been slaves to anyone, and that might apply both to you and to your ancestors. Jesus' audience, however, conveniently forgets about the current Roman occupation that they are living in. Are they truly free? What about the Greeks before that? The Persians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians before that? Were they free all those times? And what about the Egyptians? Being descendants of Abraham usually connects one very closely to the Exodus and the escape from slavery in Egypt. And as confident as Jesus' audience is that they have never been slaves to anyone, Jesus is equally confident that they are slaves. Jesus wants them to follow in his word, to be his disciples, and to know the truth, and the truth will make them free. He, the Son, has a permanent place in the household, and if he makes you free, then you will be free indeed. Ignoring the political reality of the day, Jesus asserts that everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The point he seems to be making is that everyone who sins, and I think it's fair to say that includes all of us, is not truly free. One is freed from enslavement to sin if Jesus gives you a place in the household. The extension seems to be that one whom Jesus saves no longer commits sin. But I haven't met too many people like that, have you? So I ask again, are you free? I want to move away from sin for a moment and consider the other ways that we may also be enslaved. Are you free to move about as you wish? Are you free to assemble as you'd like? Are you free to speak your mind without fear of consequences? Are you free to dress as you'd like, to think as you'd like, to worship as you'd like? Are you free to be who you want to be, to do as you want to do without repercussions? What about food and housing? Are you free to live where you want and eat whatever you want, whenever you want? If you really stop to think about it, you probably weren't free to do all those things I just listed. You probably are constrained by some factors. Physical mobility might prevent you from going where you want to go. Financial limitations might prevent you from living where you'd really like to live and eating what you want when you want to. And social expectations or even laws might prevent you from doing all of what you might like to do and dressing as you might like at all times. But does that rise up to the level of enslavement? In most cases, probably not. But rules, laws, social expectations, and financial limitations can be enslaving, I would argue, in certain circumstances. If you can't dress the way you want to dress because of the way other people will treat you, that is problematic. If you can't live where you want to live because nobody will sell you a home or rent to you because of the color of your skin, that's not mere inconvenience, that's systemic racism. If you can't be who you are because you are afraid for your well-being, then you are not free indeed. When I asked, are you free at the beginning, it was meant to challenge your ideas of freedom. On this Emancipation Sunday, we have to do more than simply celebrate something that happened once in 1834. On August 1st in 1834, the Slavery Abolition Act freed approximately 800,000 slaves within the British Empire. That was a tremendous moment, and not just for those 800,000 people. If Jesus were to hold audience with them on August 2nd, 1834, they would probably proudly declare that they were free. Would Jesus disagree with them as he did with his audience in today's gospel? Freedom, even in our world, hopefully extends beyond not being owned by anyone. Those first people who were freed didn't immediately transition to lives of prosperity and comfort. In fact, today, close to 200 years later, the impact of generations of enslavement is still having an impact on people today. It might be strange for someone who looks like me to be talking about the ongoing impact of slavery all these years later. But for context, you should know that I've never been pulled over while driving just for being me. I've never had someone double-check my name in a job application. Nobody has questioned my ability to speak English or my intelligence because of my accent. I haven't ever had problems with rental applications. I haven't been randomly selected for additional screening at a security checkpoint. I'm generally not worried about going for a walk at night, whether I'm wearing a hoodie or not. I've never been afraid to ask the police for assistance. Now, is that the case for everyone here? I'm willing to bet that my experience is not universal. So, are you free? Slavery, owning of persons, is much worse than all of that, but they are connected. And while we're at it, race is not the only way that people are made to feel oppressed. Gender expression, sexuality, income level, age, ability, the list can go on. And for many of us, we qualify in more than one category. When Jesus says that if you are his disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, we might have reservations about that. That might not match our lived experience. And even for those of us here today who might have said easily when I first asked if you were free, of course I'm free. Let me push you a little further. How much are your actions governed by the shoulds in your life? Where you should shop, what you should read, what organizations you should support or boycott, even what you watch on TV. Are you being influenced or even coerced? Are you motivated by fear, even if it's fear of social pressure? In the song of Zechariah from Luke's gospel, when Zechariah's mouth is opened upon naming his son, John the Baptist, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior. He promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life." Freedom from enemies, freedom to worship without fear. Clearly, the call of emancipation is not new. People have been clamoring for freedom for centuries, millennia even. At John the Baptist's naming, a Savior was foretold, a mighty Savior, sent by God in the person of Jesus. But his saving work is not done. The Declaration of Emancipation nearly 200 years ago did not achieve all it set out to do. The arrival of Jesus, the Savior, 1,800 years before that, did not abolish slavery. As Jesus told his audience, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We are not sinless. Our world is not sinless. There remains systemic injustices, racism, indoctrination, oppression. There remains work for us to do. As Paul in 2 Corinthians said, new things need to be brought into being as we have been made new creations in Christ. We have yet to remake the world, to create it anew in the light of the proclamations made. The work that is still required is the fast God chooses, as we heard from Isaiah, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Emancipation Day is a day of celebration. We celebrate that enslavement has ended and that all people are equal now under the law as they have always been in the eyes of God. But our celebration stops short when we realize that a proclamation alone doesn't make that equality materialize. That equality is not achieved through a declaration in a House of Parliament. That injustice is not ended through good intentions. But it is through continued work that we seek to feed the poor, to house the homeless, break the chains of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. To seek within ourselves and within our structures any conscious and unconscious bias, racism, and oppressive inclination, and root it out. The objective, emancipation, has been named, declared even. The work of making every soul free continues. May the Lord indeed grant us prosperity in this task. May righteousness go before us, and may peace be a pathway for our feet. Amen.